realfaith.org.au.
In grade 11, we just did a fun little thing on the way to school, but there was a Christian on the tram who told the headmaster. I and a couple of others were organising the punishment of this Christian. So various people were punching him, others were ringing him up 2 o'clock in the morning, others harassing him. But in my case, I was going to go. I wanted to disrupt his youth group.
Welcome to Real Faith. Conversations about the impact faith has on our lives and the challenges we go through. Helping us today and giving us hope for tomorrow. That's real people, real life and real faith with Eric Scatterbo.
When Jim Rawson was a young man, he attended a church youth group with the intention of getting revenge. A classmate had gotten him in trouble a few weeks before, and he wanted to punish him. However, something unexpected happened while he was sitting there in that group, and he was asked to open the Bible. He'll share his story today. Jim Rawson, welcome to the program.
Hi, Eric. It's really nice to be here.
Glad to have you with us. And so you had evil intentions in your heart when you attended that group. Is that right?
Yes, I did. Doing some end-of-term, sort of what I would regard as mild shenanigans. And this Christian bloke put me into the headmaster of school. My dad got a letter asking to withdraw me from the school. My cousin was suspended. And I got a Saturday morning detention. And so a number of other people did the same thing. And so we decided we'd punish this guy. So we had various different ways of punishing him. But in my case, I was going to go and disrupt his youth group.
Okay. Well, we're going to come back to that story. Mm-hmm. We'll just kind of hold people in suspense to find out what happened next. But let's go back and find out what led up to that point. What is your background?
My background is a very part-time Anglican mother. Probably weddings, funerals and marriages. That sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Births, deaths. And my father was a cultural Jew. Not
now, practicing. What do you mean by cultural?
Well, he was in a Jewish company, and so he'd do the Jewish stuff when he had to in the company. His father's name was Rosenheim, mm-hmm. and he was a full Jew, but his mother was a part-time Anglican as well.
But your name is Rawson.
Yeah, that's right. We changed our name from Rosenheim to Rawson in around about 1910.
Is that common? Why did you change it? Or why did they change it, I should say?
Well, I wanted to anglicize it, and there's always been a lot of programs against the Jews.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, discrimination.
And so they were not that favored often in the West, and so they were used to that sort of persecution, and I suspect that was it. And I think he probably wanted to get away from some of the restrictions of the Jewish faith because he was somewhat of a playboy.
Oh, okay. Now, you were born and raised where?
I was born in Dubbo, mm-hmm. and then during the war when my father was fighting in PNG, my mother moved down to be closer to when he came back to Australia. So she moved down to Sydney, and that's where we stayed.
Okay. And so your childhood?
Well, childhood, my father and mother thought a little bit of religion was good for the kids, mm-hmm. so they sent us to Sunday school, and my first memory of Sunday school is of this thing that could make two bits of paper stick together. Yes, it was fantastic. That's what I can remember. It was
that's
a stapler.
What you can remember about Sunday school?
that's all I can remember from that Sunday
something
school.
Something that could make two pieces of paper stick together.
Yeah, stapler.
A stapler. Stapler. Well, so deep theological beginnings.
That's right. In the second Sunday school I went to later on, we had to learn the Bible verse before we were allowed to read the comics. And as soon as Sunday school was over, we went straight off for a surf. And so it all sort of got lost in the surf. The only thing I can remember is really two Sunday school teachers, and I liked singing.
Okay.
That's about it.
So not a deep spiritual background.
Not a heavy-duty spiritual experience, no.
Okay, but a theme throughout your life, I guess you could say, you told me this before we started to record, is a strong, strong sense of justice and revulsion against injustice. Is that right?
That's correct. And so this has worked to my demise in many situations, but the first really major situation was my first day at high school when I was supposed to have a book, but the bookshop at the school had run out of them. And so instead of the teacher listening to me, he just gave me a punishment immediately.
No, wait. So you're supposed to have the book. You don't have a book through no fault of your own because they didn't have it.
That's right.
And you were punished?
I was punished. I ended up with a Saturday morning detention.
And, for not having that book that you couldn't buy.
That's right. And so it twisted me. I thought, so I spent my high school trying to punish the school.
But well, you wanted revenge.
I wanted revenge.
I'm starting to sense a theme here.
That's right. I wanted revenge.
Yep.
And I got my revenge, I guess, on that teacher because I punished him so badly. And I had a considerable ability at organizing. So I organized the whole class against him.
Oh, wow.
And he left the school at the end of the year. But it set me on a really bad pattern, and it sort of twisted my thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So the school probably got its revenge by I could never make the A team in the football because I was always at school on Saturday morning doing punishments instead of playing.
Just a practical matter there.
That's right. They didn't want a person that was that unreliable in the team.
So you had this anger in your heart.
Yeah.
For years, it sounds like.
I was burning with anger at the school. I hated the school.
Okay.
It was very posh, and I'm not a posh sort of bloke. It just didn't work for me.
Now, are we to the point in the story where the Bible study comes in or not yet?
Yeah, I guess that'll work.
And, okay.
In grade 11, we just did a fun little thing on the way to school. Very simple. We just removed our coats and ties and hats.
Which is against the rules.
Against the rules. Ran across the park and caught the tram on the other side of the park. But there was a Christian on the tram who told the headmaster, and then it led to me getting a Saturday morning detention and my father getting a letter asking to withdraw me from the school. But, of course, this was on top of all the other stuff I'd done.
Mm-hmm.
And my cousin was suspended and other people got punished as well. But so I and a couple of others were organizing the punishment of this Christian, which we should never have found out who it was that put us into the headmaster.
But you found out that the person who told on you was a Christian
young man. He was in our same grade, in our class. Yeah.
And you were going to get your revenge.
That's right.
So what did you plan?
So my plan, so various people were punching him, others were ringing him up
at
2 o'clock in the morning,
well, really,
others harassing him. But in my case, I was going to go. I was used to disrupting the class, so I wanted to disrupt his youth group.
So that was your plan?
That was my plan. So I went with
evil intention in your heart going to a youth group.
That's right. But when I got there, instead of it being a meeting which you can disrupt, they broke up into little group Bible studies, about seven in each of them.
So your whole plan of trying to disrupt the bigger group kind of went by the wayside.
Yeah, so I was sitting there like a dummy with this Bible open, and we're looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1.
And you're thinking to yourself,
well, I was thinking, this is not the way it's supposed to go. That's right. But as I went through the Bible study, I came under conviction. Now, I've read that passage multiple times, but I can't work out what it was that actually convicted me.
So the Holy Spirit obviously worked in your heart?
That's the way it was. It must have been. I didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit at that time. So my great prayer was I went home and I said, God, make me like those Christians. So I didn't understand the gospel.
Just from that one exposure.
That's right.
To one Bible verse or just was it the Bible verse or was it the people or what do you think it was?
I don't know. They were quite passionate as they were going through it. I could tell they were different from me. They weren't twisted.
They weren't twisted like me. That's what you're saying.
That's right. I was twisted.
Yeah.
Because it affected all my studies. I was failing. I went from a special A class
because you were seething with anger.
Yeah,
it sounds like.
Yeah, that's right.
And you were going to get this guy.
That's right. I was going to get him, but God got me instead.
Yeah.
So I didn't really know what I was praying because that's why I said, God, make me like these Christians. Didn't understand the Christian message.
You just knew there was something about them that
different.
You wanted.
That's right.
What happened next?
Well, not much. Not much really at all. I started going to the youth group and to church. And strangely, I stopped swearing. They were the
you
only
stopped
things.
Swearing?
Yeah. I didn't stop fighting with my parents. I didn't start to study. because I'd been so twisted that I hadn't studied. I'd gone from a special A through, you know, in those days the classes were streamed. I was in a special A class. I ended up in the E class. And so I failed to graduate, to go to university. Yeah, so it really twisted and mucked my life up. But Christianity, I didn't really understand the message or anything surrounding it, so didn't really change my life.
Our guest today is Jim Rawson, sharing his story. And as we just heard, he described himself as a bitter and twisted young man with revenge in his heart. But God planted a seed. We'll find out what happens next when we return right here on Real Faith.
The Word for Today is Australia's most widely read daily devotional, designed to give you practical teaching to keep you focused on your relationship with Jesus. Read it online or subscribe to the free printed edition at thewordfortoday.com.au. You're listening to Real Faith, conversations with real people about how God works in their lives. If you want to know more about integrating faith into your life, our website is realfaith.org.au. Just go to the website and you'll find helpful articles about the impact faith can have on your life. Once again, that's realfaith.org.au.
Welcome back. I'm Eric Scadabo, and our guest today is Jim Rawson, sharing his story. As we heard before the break, he described himself as a bitter and twisted young man who went to a Bible study, not to learn, but to disrupt it. But God planted a seed in his heart. Now we'll find out what happened next in his life as he went to university.
Yeah, then I went to university, and it was in 1959, and the Billy Graham Crusade was coming, and so somehow, I don't know how, somebody signed me up for the counseling classes. I didn't understand the gospel, so I don't know how I was going to counsel somebody else, you know.
But you were open to spiritual things at the time.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And I had a guy called Charlie Riggs, and he really set out the whole plan of salvation, the whole gospel message, you know. A 14-week course was a Christianity explained in 14 weeks.
Wow, which would be perfect for you.
Perfect for me. By the end of it, although I was a Christian, I now as a Christian had actually understood what Christianity was about. Mm-hmm. Now, this is around about May 1959. Up to this point, so I had got into university by doing matriculation exams.
Even though you were a poor student.
Yeah, that's right. So what had happened was, I didn't get in from my high school, but I did the university set exams. And so I got into New South Wales University through their exam, and I got into Sydney University exam. And that's because I really studied for 2 weeks. But then when I got to university, I'd never studied. I hadn't read any of the lecture notes. I'd copied other people's assignments and all the rest of it.
You didn't know how to be a student.
I didn't know how to be a student. Mm. So, but suddenly I knew that I had to honour God by trying to pass exams. But because I didn't know how to study, I couldn't catch up. So by the time, in those days, there were 100% exams at the end of the year. And for the whole year's work, 5 exams, 2 maths exams, 1 chemistry, 1 physics, and 1 geology exam. And I failed 4 out of the 5 subjects, which meant I failed outright.
Wow.
Any subject you pass in those days, you couldn't carry forward. You had to do it again. Fortunately, my father was prepared to pay for me to study another year. So at that
really,
stage,
so I mean, he could have.
It could have said nosed. He could have said that that's the end, but he didn't.
Yeah.
But my attitude had changed
because
I knew the message. I don't think he could see that because I was still fighting with him and whatever. And he still regarded me as the old Jim, which I still was to a large extent, because it took a long while for Christianity to get rid of the twisted thinking in me. It took years to get rid of that school twistedness.
Thank goodness that God is patient.
He is patient, thank goodness. But then I never failed an exam again.
Okay, so you got a second chance.
I got a second chance.
And wow, did you take advantage of that?
I took advantage of it.
And did you take advantage of it?
That's
what
right.
happened next in your university career?
Well, I did Bachelor of Science Honours and in chemistry. And then I did PhD in
PhD.
Chemistry.
Yeah. So this is somebody who barely got through high school. You're going for a PhD?
That's right.
So what happened? You just really found that you enjoyed school? Or what explains the turnaround?
Hard work. I don't think I was particularly brilliant, but I really wanted to honor God. And so I worked really, really hard.
So your personal faith, obviously, at this point, was really a big part of your life.
My personal faith is growing, growing, growing. Mm-hmm. And people kept on giving me opportunity. Just little opportunities, like leading on a Sunday school camp. There was about 9 kids on or 8 kids, and I had to give a talk. Yeah, I was scared silly, but it gave me this opportunity. And 2 kids decided they want to follow Jesus. And I thought, oh, maybe God can use me.
Wow.
And a guy took me on a hospital visit, and I didn't know we were going to have to give a talk. They numbered us off, and I was about number 6 out of about 11. And then I realized that at each ward, someone would give a talk. Then I noticed it was number 1, then number 2, number 3. Well, goodness me, this is going to come to number 6. So I listened desperately to number 5. And then when all the people went out and I had to give the talk because they moved on to the next ward, I just gave exactly the same talk that the guy before me had given. I was petrified.
But you paid attention.
I did. When you're under threat, the mind is particularly focused.
Yeah. So you had these opportunities to share, and you found it was successful. I mean, it was having an impact in people's lives.
That's right. And the thing, it just helped me to grow. It took a long while to get rid of the twistedness. Mm-hmm. I think there's still some vestiges of it there because I...
Are you trying to say you're still a little twisted?
I think so, yes, because I still hate the status quo.
Well, you still hate injustice?
I really hate injustice, mm-hmm. and I like to challenge the system mm-hmm. because nothing's perfect.
This is why you and I get along so well. I can identify.
That's right. Yeah, and look, there's always things wrong with something. You can always make things better.
Yeah.
And so I'm never satisfied. So even if I write a paper on something, I'm always want to improve it. I cannot read it through without improving it. Or I find out new information from someone.
Okay. Then you got your PhD. What happened next?
Well, I then moved to the pharmaceutical drug industry. I did doing research for a postdoctoral study. But halfway through that, it's only 1 year in the United States because I immigrated to the United States to do so. I thought, no, this is very soul-destroying, spending 50% of my time in a library just reading journals and 50% of time in a laboratory. So I asked the management, look, is there an opportunity in management? And they said, yes, there is, but you'll have to immigrate to Mexico. So I asked my wife.
Mexico?
Yeah, because that's where they got the route that was used for making the steroids. So this company made 50% of the world's steroids, and it was made from a yam, a big yam called a Barbasco root.
Oh, wow.
So we made all the birth control pills. We made all the topical corticoids, the cortisones, like prednisone, all of those sorts of things.
I'll just take your word for it. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, they're all made from this root except for the heart, the heart steroids. Mm-hmm. So all of the normal body steroids, mm-hmm. they're all made from this one yam.
So it sounds like tremendous success.
It was. Mm-hmm. So I was very...
Academically and career-wise.
That's right. And so then they moved the whole organization to back to the States again. Mm-hmm. And I got 3 promotions in a year, so I was a young executive, and so they sent me off to this young executives course. Mm-hmm. And they must have spent thousands of dollars on me. But one of the things that asked you to do was, why don't you think through where you're heading in life? Now, obviously, they were thinking about in terms of the company, but I thought, I want to be a really good businessman. I want to be a really good Christian, and I want to be a really good family man. I had 2.5 kids at that stage.
2.5?
2.5, yeah. One was in the oven.
Oh, okay. Thank you for explaining that.
That's right. And so I thought, I can't do 3 things really well. I've got to cut it down somehow. So I can't give up Christianity. I can't give up family. But what about work? And I thought, well, I've got to combine work with Christianity. And so I came back from the course and resigned and decided I'd go into Christian work, and particularly Christian work with young people, because that was where I felt that I could make a contribution.
And what'd you do?
Well, I looked at the Bible colleges, theological colleges. I was already 30, and I thought, by the time I finish those, I'll be 33 or 34. I'll be starting to diminish in real effectiveness. So I thought, I can read all that stuff, but I want to get straight into Christian work. So I came back to Australia. I didn't feel that the United States needed any more experienced or academic-type Christians. It was pretty rare in those days for Australian Christians to have PhDs.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were nowhere near as common as they are now. So I thought I'd come back and move into Christian work somewhere. Everything I applied for, I applied for four different jobs. I got every one of them.
Oh, wow.
But one of them really, really stirred my heart, and that was the Scripture Union job. So it was called the General Secretary of Scripture Union in Queensland.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I didn't know what a General Secretary was, so I asked them to explain what a General Secretary was. It seemed a pretty stupid name to me. And anyway, they explained it to me, and it was really the CEO.
Oh, okay.
But it was very small. We had a $31,000 budget. We had six staff, or we had five staff. If you add me, it'd be six. And my heart leapt, because it was just perfect.
Mm-hmm.
For what I'd done. I'd have experience in Scripture Union in New South Wales. So I went up there, and God remarkably blessed it. When I left there after 28 years, we had about 120 staff and about a $4.5 million budget.
Wow.
So God was extraordinarily good to us. And
God took this rebel.
He did. So rebel. I'm still a rebel, sort of. But much more moderated rebel, yes.
And you've always had a heart for university students. Tell us about that.
I have. Well, I guess because I did a Master's of Administration as well after that, and a counseling degree. So I've had a lot of time with university students. Plus, all the leaders on our camps and missions pretty well were people from university, though. Most of them were. And so I knew how they ticked to a large extent. And so when I finished with Scripture Union, I thought, well, I'll go right back to the beginning. And I'll just become an ordinary worker on the campus. And so I started at QUT, but there was only two of us. And one of them, he took the Kelvin Grove campus, and he left me on the Gardens Point campus. So there was just me. And there was one student that I connected with, plus two others that were phantom. They were supposedly connected, but they actually weren't. But we had this really committed student called Mark. And between the two of us, God built it up. At our maximum, we got to 120 students.
Wow.
And it was really, really exciting. Many people became Christians. A lot of them were discipled. And so it was just a wonderful opportunity. But then Campus Crusade is now called Power to Change.
Mm-hmm.
It recognized that I had previous experience, so it moved me onto the national leadership team of the organization, which I became chair of, then onto the board, and then I became chair of the board. So now I do about 3 days a week on campus, mostly mentoring and discipling students. Some of them are non-Christians, and so I do some evangelism as well. It's just a wonderful ministry, lots and lots of opportunities.
And now you're spreading the joy that found its way in your heart when you initially had evil in your heart when you went to that youth group.
That's right. And now, basically, I spend about 3 days a week doing ministry with university students, and then a couple of days a week preparing for boards and writing papers and things. So I sit on about eight boards, and so that means I travel a fair bit to Melbourne and Sydney particularly. And that keeps me out of mischief.
Eight boards, wow.
Well, I'm only 77. I've still got a few years in me, I hope.
Well, Jim Rawson, thank you so much for sharing your story with us today.
Okay, it's been wonderful, and thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Great to hear your story.
Thank you.
Our guest today has been Jim Rawson. He is the chair of a nationwide organization known as Power to Change. It used to be Campus Crusade for Christ, now known as Power to Change. For more information, or if you want to contact him, Power to Change website is powertochange.org.au. That's powertochange.org.au.
You've been listening to Real Faith, and if you have any questions or comments, you can send us a message through our website, realfaith.org.au. That's realfaith.org.au. This program is a production of Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, see vision.org.au.